I love the new bumper music. I feel like I needed to ride a Harley on stage. The budget reset in 2022, so I don't know if that's allowed in the worship budget to have a Harley, but you know, it never hurts to ask, right? My name's Josh. That's my introduction. I'm lead pastor here. Harley-less today in our first year, our first gathering of the new year. Listen, we gather, and we said it often. We gather because of the gospel, Jesus in our place. And I hope that never gets old for you and for me, because on your worst day, so whatever that day is where you say, I was the furthest away from God because of my sin, that's the day Jesus died for you. He removes your sin. He makes you clean. He makes you holy, and he gives you a new life. How could we not worship a God like that? That's why I gather. I gather because if Jesus has saved me, redeemed me, made me right, how could I not say yes to a Savior who would do that for you and for me? So that, I don't know about you, but that's why I'm here today, to make much of Jesus who makes me worth it, because he is worthy in our lives. If you're new and you're thinking, what have I stumbled upon? Welcome. This is what we call church. And we gather because Jesus has gathered us. So for those who are watching online, and for all of you who are newish, because it's a new year, we just want to clap and say welcome. Welcome to Bethel. And why do we do that? Because we believe God has drawn you here. You don't come into the presence of the Lord unless the Holy Spirit is doing something in your life. So Christians don't fight fair. We fight with the Holy Spirit. So we believe God is already changing your life and changing your heart to know him and to worship him. We're starting off this year with a new series called Fact Check. And really, it's misconceptions about the Bible. So we're going to correct some misconceptions in the next several weeks together. A great misconception that you might have in general is that a new year brings a new change in your life, right? You just think once the calendar turns, then 2021 is out the window. Newsflash. Nothing has changed in your life except lack of sleep. Because some of y'all were crazy and stayed up to watch a ball or a peach or something drop. You know, I watched my eyelids drop at 9:30. That's what old man New Year's looks like. But the misconception is that if we can just make it to a new year, then everything changes in my life. That's not going to happen. But God is still faithful. Today we're going to look at a great misconception in Scripture. One commentator says it's the most misunderstood passage in all of the Bible. This is actually the exact passage that Abraham Lincoln put his hand on as he swore the oath of office several years ago. And it's Matthew chapter 7. Some of you are thinking, well, I don't know what that is. Let me give it to you in King James. Really simple. It says this: judge not that ye not be judged. Judge not. Some of you would know it as judge not lest you be judged. What is Jesus talking about, and how do we live that out? So this is a great misconception that we are going to change today by the power of the Holy Spirit. The sermon title is this: a command, a charade, and a cure. A command, a charade, and a cure. Let's read the word, and then we'll pray for the Lord's guidance in our life. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, if you don't have your phone with a Bible, most of your seats have Bibles near them, and that's the same version I use. If you don't have a Bible, take that with you. It's not considered stealing if you need a Bible. That's our gift to you. CSB, Matthew 7, verse 1, Jesus is saying this: do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Verse 3. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but you did not even notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in my own eye? Hypocrite. First, take the beam out of your eye, and then you will be, then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to the dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs or swine, as some of you know it. Or they will trample them under feet, turn, and tear you to pieces. What in the world is Jesus trying to communicate to us? There's a spiritual truth in that we need the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and ask God for His wisdom. Father, there are so many things that we don't understand. But what we do know is that we cannot understand eternal truths apart from your eternal Spirit illuminating our eyes and our ears and our minds and giving our calloused hearts a makeover. So Lord, we'd ask right now that, Father, we would know what it means when your Son Jesus said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Father, help us not be critical people, but help us not be hypocrites. Lord, we want to be people that know the cure and give the cure to others. Lord, help us denounce the charade of our lives and help us live in spirit and in truth. So Lord, you meet us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. At first glance, this command to not judge comes out of left field. It's coming from the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus' most famous sermon in probably the most beautiful area in Galilee. Some of you have been on that mountain. It's on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, overlooking the sea. Jesus could not have picked a better location for a sermon. And Jesus is sharing with the people. He begins with the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. And this is where Jesus gives us the model prayer in Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then something happens in Matthew 7. And Jesus says, do not judge, lest you be judged. Take the beam out of your own eye. Don't cast the pearls before swine or the dogs. They'll rip you to pieces. It feels like this comes out of left field in Jesus' message. Something is going on, but it's not out of place. You see, the Sermon on the Mount is exactly what Jesus wants us to know. So everything in the Sermon on the Mount can be categorized in two different areas. It's how God treats you and how you treat others. And the way God treats you determines for the Christian the way that you should treat others. Why should you be gracious? Because God is gracious to you. Why should you love others? Because God loves you. Hey, you're unlovable, and yet God sent His only Son to love you. Let that sink in. The way God treats you changes the paradigm. So when God says, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Jesus is teaching us right in this passage, that's the way God treats you. Because you're a child, if you by faith have trusted in Jesus Christ. So if God treats you that way, now you need to treat others a certain way. That's what Matthew 7 is all about. So it's not out of left field, it's in the same ballpark, so to speak. And so the take home from this is how the Lord treats you changes the way you treat others. You show me a jerk, I'll show you someone who doesn't know Jesus fully. Because how could I live that way if God has given me a new heart? Now, do we still, as Christians, still have jerkish tendencies? That's not Greek. That's English. Yes, some of us are still have rough edges that God is refining and purifying. But the way God treats you changes the way that you treat others. And there's no way around it for the Christian. So here's the command. Right? The command is simply, do not judge, or you will be judged by God. Now, it seems to be that Jesus is insinuating, if you don't judge someone, then you will never be judged in your life. And that's the way the world takes us. It's don't judge me, I won't judge you, and in the end, we'll all be okay. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not giving a blanket statement on judgment. Now, the world and our culture interprets it this way. Don't judge me, brah. And so some of us are very apprehensive because we feel like when we call people to righteousness, the very thing they're going to throw in our face is, Jesus said, don't judge me. And so we're like, huh? Jesus said it. I shouldn't do it. But is that what Jesus is saying? Because very clearly in Scripture, one day everyone will be judged. Everyone will be judged. Revelation, the very end of the book, says it this way. John describes it. He says, standing before the throne were all people. Now, I know I'm a simple guy, but when I hear the word all, I believe it means everyone. And John even gives further description. He says, I saw all people, great and small. So if you are small or if you are great, you fit into that category. And they were standing before the throne. And for you who know the verse, you remember it says that there were books opened. And one book was the Lamb's Book of Life. And those who had given their life to Jesus by faith were in that book. But Revelation says that even Christians will be judged according to their works and by faith. There were other books opened. And those who were not in the Lamb's Book of Life were in those books. So John very clearly says at the end time, every person will be judged. So the question is, do you measure up? Do you measure up? They said, I've never seen the Bible myself, so I'm taking it for granted that they're accurate. But historians say that in the margins of Martin Luther's Bible, he had this written down in the book of Romans about judgment. He says, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You see, Martin Luther understood that we will all be judged one day. And if we have not given our life, if you've not been born again, you will die. There's an eternal second death at the great white throne room of judgment. And listen, I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just telling you that's what's going to happen. And for those who don't know Jesus Christ, that should be terrifying. And for you who know Jesus Christ, you're not going to sit up there and twiddle your thumbs thinking, go ahead and judge me. Here I am, God. I think we're going to be there weeping and saying, God, I've been unfaithful. God, I don't measure up. And God is going to say, if you were born again, you don't die twice. Come into my presence. So Jesus is not saying you will not be judged, because every single person who has ever lived will be judged. Okay, you're on notice. So what is Jesus saying when he says don't be judged? Well, the verb is present tense. Jesus is actually saying stop judging. He's saying you're already doing it. Stop judging. But the word means several things. It means really two different thoughts. The first is the judgment of an end judgment and declaration. That's God's job. No one can give a final eternal judgment other than the Lord himself, and he will do that. So Jesus is saying, I believe, quit trying to do God's job. You are not the final judge and you are not the final jury. But the word also has another good understanding. It's evaluate. Give recognition. Analyze. And that's a healthy way of judging, isn't it? It's the same way that some of you go to the grocery store when they don't have the pickups available. And you have to, like I did recently, and I had to go to the store myself. I feel like a peasant. I don't have a shopper. I don't have a secret shopper for me anymore. We seriously had that discussion at our house. I'm like, what? I had to go to the store? Like first world problems. And you go, and as you look at the produce, you analyze and you say, that's not a good fruit. I want this one. That's not the meat I want. I want this one. You're evaluating for something that is good and right and proper. And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying, quit analyzing, quit seeking, quit searching. He's saying, you are not the final judge. Quit acting like you're God. Stop it. But he's also saying, we are to hold people to the standard that God has set in our life. I think of it this way. When you receive the Spirit of the living God, you receive the Holy Spirit, not a harassing spirit. Some of you have the wrong spirit in your lives. God did not give you the harassing spirits to harass the world. He gave you the Holy Spirit because he's redeemed you and given you the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile others. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, get rid of a critical spirit. Quit criticizing others. So when Jesus says, do not judge so that you will not be judged, Jesus is saying, quit criticizing others. He's talking to the Pharisees, who were known as professional critical spirits. And he's saying, I don't want you people in my group. God has not given us a critical spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit. So next time someone says to you, well, you can't hold me to God's standard. You're not God. Quit judging me. We will say, you will be judged. I'm not God, but I care for you. And I want you to know the greatest gift of eternal life. It is our job as Christians to know what is good and right and proper and bring people to the knowledge of truth. So Jesus is saying, stop criticizing, stop playing God, but bring people to a better place. That's the command. So what's the charade? Well, look at verse 2. He says, you will be judged by the same measure which you judge others. You will be measured by the same measure you use. And then he says this statement. He says, why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye? Now let's pause really quick. If your friend has a splinter in their eye and you know about it, should you say something? Okay. I'm thankful for Brad who cares enough about me. There's at least one person that cares about me enough. If someone has a splinter in their eye and you know about it, should you speak up and tell them? Yes. Yes, and so we're going to get to the cure, right? But before that, let's skip past the splinter. Because Jesus says, if they have a splinter in their eye and you don't notice the beam of wood in your eye, how can you say to your brother, let me take out the splinter? And look, there's a beam in my own eye. This is a charade that we play. A charade, if you don't know the word or haven't used it in a while, a charade is something you do to give yourself a pleasant or beautiful appearance. It's you saying to someone, well, don't look at my mess, look at that mess. With the thought that if people take their attention off of you and look at the train wreck, your accident doesn't look as bad. It's us saying, don't look at my beam, look at the dust in their eye. Now, what would Jesus, a carpenter, know about dust in the eyes? Can you think about that? Can you imagine Jesus often in his life working as an artisan with stone or brick or wood? And Jesus getting things in his eye. And speaking to people who are woodworkers and artisans, and he's saying, do you remember when you had dust in your eye? You remember the irritant and how difficult that might be? Have you ever had anything in your eye? I remember, I wear contacts. I remember the first time I grew up and I was going to get contacts. And so the doctor gave me the contacts and said, you need to put this in your eye. And I remember holding my eye open, crying, saying, ah! And when it touched my eye, I was weeping. I'm thinking, grow up, dude. But to have something in your eye, whether it's sand or dust, it doesn't matter if it's a plank or a splinter, it is intolerable. And Jesus is speaking to many of us who know that thought, who know that experience. And your first instinct is to rub it, isn't it? To think, if I just rub it, it'll help. Let me just get it out. But we know that sometimes to rub an irritant in your eye only makes things worse. And Jesus is saying, stop playing the charade. You're going to cause blindness. Jesus knew well the difficulty of this. Now, of course, Jesus is not speaking about splinters and sawdust. This is a hyperbole. Jesus is asking us to get to a deeper moral truth. This is what Christ is saying. Here's a charade. Jesus is saying, do you even care about purity? Do you even care about how your life looks? Jesus is saying, pointing out your neighbor's sin with a critical spirit will never create a respectable image in your life. Living with a critical spirit does not make you better. It only makes you worse. Rubbing the splinter in your eye only creates blindness. Jesus is saying, stop the charade. Quit playing the church game. Stop playing God. Stop playing the charade. But as Jesus does so often, I'm so thankful for a Savior that does this. Jesus not only gives us a diagnosis, He gives you the cure. Aren't you thankful for a Savior who came and said, not only are you sick, good luck, but Jesus said, you're sick and here's the cure. Listen, we don't have a Savior that leaves us in our sin. Jesus doesn't say you got a splinter, deal with it. The gospel is you have an illness and Jesus has provided the remedy. I'm so thankful for a Savior who does not leave us sick, wounded, and dead in our sin. So are you ready for the cure? You know what? You guys go home. There's a charade. Good luck. Here's the cure. Here's the cure. He says, verse 5, hypocrite. Remember, that's the Greek word for wearing a mask, for rubbing the eyes, thinking you can get the splinter out. He says, first take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly, and you will take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Here's the first cure. First, take the beam from your eye. That's it. The gospel. The good news is that we should always ask the question, me first. What about me? See, faith says I have sinned. That's faith. Faith doesn't say you have sinned. Get it together. That's a critical spirit. Faith says I have sinned. Psalm 51. Faith speaks this way. Lord, be gracious to me. Faith says, I am guilty. Faith says, wash me, Lord, and I will be whiter than snow. Faith says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Faith is David in Psalm 51, looking at his sin and saying, God, deal with me first. I have sinned. Wash me. Hold me accountable. You see, that's the cure, isn't it? That's the cure to sin, is coming before God and saying, God, deal with me. That's the gospel. The bad news is that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. The bad news is that if you die in your sin without ever dealing with your sin, you'll be judged one day and you will go to a hell away from a loving God, not because God hates you, but because we have rejected God's love. We have said, God, you had the cure and I didn't want anything to do with it. Leave me alone. The good news is that when we by faith trust in Jesus Christ, He removes our sin. He forgives us. Colossians says that he nails our sin to the cross and he wiped it clean. So one day when Satan comes to God and says, God, don't you remember Josh's sin? God's going to say, look at the cross, Satan, you find it. It's wiped away. It's washed. The first cure is to say, God, what about me? What about me? Here's a second cure. Jesus wants you to see clearly. Jesus wants you to see clearly. Look at verse 5. If you don't judge me and I don't judge you and we leave here, you leave here blind and I leave here blind. But look what Jesus says in verse 5. Take the beam of wood out of your eye so you can see the dust in my eye. That way you see better and I see better. Jesus doesn't want anyone to remain in blindness. Does that make sense? A world that says you don't judge me and I don't judge you is a world that everyone is blind. But the gospel is God doesn't want anyone to be blind. I love how Jesus heals the man in Mark 8 near Bethesda. There's a blind man and Jesus takes him by the hand in Mark 8. Don't miss that, right? Jesus doesn't say, get up, open your eyes. Jesus takes him by the hand and he brings him to the village. Now, this is a little gross. Not COVID friendly. Jesus spits on his eyes. Can you imagine? How many people have spit on that man before as he's begging along the side of the road? I just think that the man's probably asking, will someone else spit on me too? Jesus, you too, you're going to spit on me? You think I'm a dog? But this spit's different, isn't it? In Mark 8, Jesus asked him, do you see anything? Now, okay, read scripture with fresh eyes. Jesus is asking a blind man, do you see anything? Of course he can't see, right? He's blind. But the man answers in verse 24 to Jesus. He said, I see people, but they look like trees. What do you do with that? I don't know. So Jesus places his hands on the man's eyes. And the man looked intently and his sight was restored. And I love this verse. It says he saw everything clearly. You see, when Jesus comes your way, things change. And for a man who had been spit on in his entire life, I think Jesus was saying, I'm different. See, that's what God wants for you too. Jesus wants you to see clearly. He takes you by the hand. And so if you're struggling spiritually today and you think, well, I've come in here and things kind of look like trees. I don't see clearly. I'm not blind, but I don't have good vision. Jesus wants you to see clearly. And I love it what Jesus, he takes him by the hand. He didn't slap him. You only see trees. What? He takes him by the hand and he restores his sight. It's the reminder for me, the process of sanctification. You know what sanctification is? Growing in righteousness. It's the daily process of God helping you see more and more. It's God saying, let me get that dust. Let me get that splinter. Because one day we will see clearly, church. And we will behold God in his glory. I can't imagine seeing perfectly one day as God has created me to see, and in that moment seeing God in the fullness of his presence at the same time. There's no sunglasses in the world that can protect your eyes from the brightness and the beauty and the majesty of God on his throne. But one day we will see clearly and we will see him. That's the cure. The cure is daily seek the Lord because he wants you to see clearly. That's God's desire for your life. Faith says me first. What about me? The second cure is God, today, help me see you more. Here's the third cure. Take the beam out and then you will see clearly. What happened to the blind man, by the way? He saw everything clearly. Scripture always works together. And then after you can see, then, verse 5, then take the splinter out of your brother's eye. See, Jesus, the Messiah, doesn't want you to stay blind. And he doesn't want your brother to stay blind. The world, listen, church, the world can smell hypocrisy from a mile away, can't it? The world knows when you're being fake. The world knows when you come up to them and you say, hey, let me get that speck. And they say, but hey, you have a, like you, I know it sounds weird, but dude, you have a log in your eye. Can you imagine? That's what we do when we live with a critical spirit. But how does it look, church? How does it look when we come to someone and we say, hey, God, restore my eyes. I had a beam in my eye. You won't believe this, but there was a log sticking out. And Jesus removed it and I can see clearly. And listen, let me help you get the splinter. Because when Jesus removes your sin, you can see clearly also. See, Jesus doesn't want anyone to remain blind. That's the third cure. And not only can the world smell hypocrisy from a mile away, but the world can smell love from a mile away. And that's what we want to be. See, true love is the oncologist who will not stop until he gets every single cancer cell out of your life. That's the hope of the gospel. That's Jesus removing sin and removing planks and removing dust that we might see clearly. Jesus doesn't want anyone to be blind. That's the message in Matthew 7. So how do we live this out? What's the so what of this? I think for some of us today, we're guilty of being indifferent. You're so terrified that someone's going to call you hypocritical, or they're going to say, don't judge me. And so you've just let them alone. And Jesus doesn't want anyone to be blind. We can't be indifferent. And if that's you, would you go to God today and say, God, I'm tired of being indifferent. I'm tired of the logs. I'm tired of the dust. I'm tired of the splinter. Lord, help me see clearly. Because Jesus doesn't want anyone to be blind. I think there's some in this room, some watching online, who you're the one who has the critical spirit. What you call the Holy Spirit is really a harassing spirit. And you need to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry that I've been judgmental. I'm sorry that I have put myself in your place. And maybe you need to call someone or text someone and ask forgiveness. And to say, I had good intentions, but I had wrong words. Will you forgive me? Because I love you and I don't want you to be blind. And let's reboot the whole conversation. Listen, God removed the log so he can remove your speck so that neither of us have to be blind. But I'm sorry for the words that I used. Forgive me. If you are the critical person, would you seek the Lord today? Because Jesus says, stop criticizing people. Maybe you land on the, what about me? Maybe you've lived a life this year, this week, today, and you know there's sin in your life. And for you, the right response is to come to God and say, God, what about me? It's Psalm 139:23 that says, search me, God. Isn't that a scary prayer? To give God permission as if he needs it. To say, God, search me. Know my heart. Test me. Know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the path of everlasting life. Would you have the boldness to pray that prayer? to say, God, search me. Seek me today. I believe there's one more group here, though. I believe there are some in our midst, and you are the blind person. You're the person on the side of the road, and you've been spit on, you've been criticized, you've been bullied. Maybe people in the church have ostracized you, and you being here today is a step of faith because you've been hurt by the church. And listen, I get it. Church people can hurt people. You don't have to tell me otherwise. And you being here today is a huge step of faith and saying, God, I'm going to give you one more chance. And maybe for the first time you've realized that you are spiritually blind. Can I tell you about a Savior who doesn't want you to leave here blind? He doesn't want you to leave here in sin. Ephesians says that you are dead in your sin and trespasses. But it's my favorite phrase in all the Bible. But God. Do you know God's rich? He's rich in mercy. And according to his great love, it is by grace you have been saved. Don't leave here in spiritual blindness today. Come to faith. Trust in him. Because he will change your life. Judge not, church, so that you won't be judged. It's not, don't judge the world. It's stop criticizing so that no one will be blind to the glory of our Lord and our Savior. As we respond through the Holy Spirit, let's pray one more time.